Thank you, Luke. Yes, we should encourage these young ones, these new members of the family of the kingdom of God. Feeling the heat yet of the desert? I'll wait till 40 days are over and we'll see. That's usually what it takes. But it's right. And Peter goes on and says a lot in his epistle. He says, don't think it strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you. There's nothing strange about it. It's natural, it's normal, it's common. And keep in the Word. That, you know, young Christians tend, especially nowadays, you have a lot of challenges, young people. Challenges we never had. That are taking your time, that are competing for you, for your devotion. Turn to the Word. Because you'll dry up, I can guarantee you that. You'll dry up and you'll suddenly wonder, where did God go here in my life? And another thing I want to touch on just briefly before I begin. That song. Especially nowadays, isn't that so important? That one song there that the brother had on him. It's a charge that he himself delayed. What's the title of that song? Day by Day. It's a charge he himself took. So if we're in him, if we are in his will, walking in his footsteps, he takes charge of our protection. There's no better place to be, brothers and sisters. Amazing. And onward, Christian soldiers. There's the other song here that touched me. We don't sing that one often enough. Against the Church of Jesus, the gates of hell will not prevail. Believe that. And that takes more than believing. That takes walking in it. Believe like Abraham. Forth like Abraham. That's where the enemy cannot. The enemy has no chance against God's army. He said, "You will with ten, you'll turn to flight an army." He said, "Will come of you against you one way and flee from you 10 ways, not because you're big in number, but because the Lord Jehovah is your strength and your salt." That's why it'll happen. And he covers you. So brethren, message I have this morning for you is part 2, navigating our ships. I chose this one today, going back to our navigating our ships, our relationships, because especially today we are remembering what our Lord Jesus did for us and how he has enabled us to be in fellowship. He has enabled us to be part of his kingdom here on earth. Enabled us. We didn't do it ourselves. We never saved ourselves. And so the encouragement that's coming today and the challenge that's out for us today is how to navigate those earthly relationships. Because Satan knows he cannot destroy what Jesus did for you in your life. But if he can keep you from connecting and from growing together with God's family, he's just as effective. Divide and conquer keeps us ineffective, keeps us weak, keeps us always looking for answers and always keep the Christian church on the defense rather than on the offense. So yes, today I want to touch on discuss two of the second and the third most important aspects of navigating our ships. If our relationships in the third phase of our Christian growth and fellowship, if they're important to us, we need to learn to navigate. We need to learn what punches holes in the vessel and plug them. And we need to learn what helps us power the vessel ahead so we can get to the destination that we're aiming for, that we're pursuing, that we want to attain in our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to fix our minds, as I said in the last message, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we said, renew our minds so that we might prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. That way we can navigate the choppy waters. That way we can go through those areas that cause many Christians to write others off or divide or rebel against circumstances. We want to focus on what unites, not what divides. And on those things, we want to set our minds and affections on. So our text this morning is out of Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, and the title is Forgiveness, Navigating Our Ships, Part 2, Forgiveness and Forbearance. Forgiveness and Forbearance. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Let's read. After beginning Colossians here with a whole bunch of putting offs, Paul says, put off, put off, put off, put off, all the way down, put off and mortify. Verse 12, he says then, as the saints of God, put on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection, which is the rope, which is the cord that keeps it all together. We're not held together by a system of rules and laws. We are held together by the cord of love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Take note of these words, brothers and sisters. Rule in your hearts. What? We didn't just hear this. He said, let the peace of God rule. What's supposed to rule? The peace of God. What often rules in our hearts? Everything but the peace of God. We have to, see, this is a decision we gotta make. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. This is a decision we take. This is not something that happens. Rule in your hearts to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What an amazing passage. We give that passage to our school students at least four times during their 12 years in school. They learn that by heart. Why is that? That verse is so important. It is so vital. It is almost like the engine that drives unity. It is the engine that drives. We know the Holy Spirit works it all. I don't want to have this something we do because of we grit our teeth and do it. Yet it's got to be done. If we are to build and be instruments of this building of the kingdom of God on this earth. So this, when we talk about this relationship of forgiveness and forbearance, we need to understand this is the team. This is the team playing characteristics. Those are the elements, the essentials. We know a lot about essentials these days. These are the essentials for team building and team advancing and team unity. Last message, I have faith. Because without faith it is impossible to please Him. And John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We discussed that in the last message, as the most powerful force that helps navigate our ships. It helps us stand in evil days and helps us work through our struggles. But faith alone will not do it. Faith alone cannot do it. Faith then in us motivates, propels, and compels us to take action in certain areas. And those two areas are forgiveness and forbearance. Well, there are many more, but I'm just doing those two today. As we navigate those ships, as we learn to be good brothers and sisters and team players, we almost inevitably run into relationship problems. It is impossible. We're flawed human beings. Or are we? We're flawed human beings. And it's so difficult to navigate some of those relationships. But God put us together dough mixer. He put all those ingredients into the dough mixer, and now he just lets it go. Three-phase power. Just mix it all together, and we can cry, stop, God, all day long. But God's after us to make one loaf, one bread, one powerful entity for His purpose and His glory. And so, these traits, these essentials, in discussing them, we need to be aware of a couple more things here before I go in, and that's living when we pursue the kingdom of God that way, we have to fight and guard against living feeling-based lives. We need to guard ourselves against them, and I also spoke of that last time. And then we also need to see the value in our relationships. If we can't see the value in it, we will not forbear. We will not easily forgive. We will not pursue unity. Unless we see the value in it, unless we see what this is all about, there is really no motivating force in us to pursue oneness and the kingdom of God. And the last thing here is, it's essential to know where we're going. Now on a personal level, you and I have no greater calling on our lives than to become like Jesus Christ. We have, that is the highest level, to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's goal for us. Therefore, it needs to be our goal. But on a church level, where are we going? Because that's the ship. I'm just on the ship. As a church, we need to keep the vision in focus too. We need to reckon that we got on a ship to go somewhere. I hope you did. It's not just in here, we just live. We got on the ship to go somewhere. And as Christians, as Anabaptists, our goal is not heaven. The Anabaptists, one of our biggest identities is not just to go to heaven. We know we're going to heaven if we abide in Christ, remain in Him, and follow Him. We know that. That's our inheritance. We know that. But where are we going here for those 50, 60, 40 years He gives us? And where we're going here, it's very important. It's not to go to heaven. It's to bring heaven to earth. If we keep that focus, we will then learn to better navigate. So if any relationship is to succeed, something's got to give. Got to be a giving and a taking. And forgiveness, these two nouns, these two words, forgiveness and forbearance, they're very closely related to one another. But they are yet different. Forgiveness is the act of forgiving. I'll go into that in a little bit here. While forbearance is a patient self-control and restraint and tolerance under provocation. Forbearance is a term that shows us we withhold. We withhold judgment. We withhold justice. We withhold our righteous anger from those that go out of line, for those that are immature in the faith, for those who are still forging their own ways, and for the immature Christians. And while faith is more vertical, my relationship to God, forbearance and forgiveness are both horizontal, and they are extremely hard to do. They are counterculture. They're counter nature. They're counter to our intuition. They're counter to everything we are. You've noticed that, haven't you? I'm sure you have. Forgiveness and forbearance are even counter justice. They are God acts. They're both not human acts. You cannot possibly forgive and forbear without the Holy Spirit living in your life. You cannot possibly walk Matthew 5 to 7 in daily life without a power in us that's higher than we are. It is impossible. And so if we value the things that God values, we need to put that shoe leather on our faith. And that is in our actions, in our walk, in our daily life. God places a higher value on our relationships than He does on our worship. And I can prove that to you in many, many scriptures. We'll touch on one in a bit here. That's in Matthew 6. And in Isaiah, when God said to the Jews, when they were coming to Him and worshiping Him and offering Him and doing all their religious duties, but He said, "That's a stench in my nostrils. I am not interested in your worship." And so we have to develop the heart of God when it comes to navigating fellowship relationships. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses." Let's turn to Matthew 18. That's the one that's actually a brother talked about this year, a little while back. Matthew 18, verses 35. We know it's the parable of the unjust servant, the unmerciful servant. But I'm just going to touch on some of the things here towards the end. Matthew 18. We had this unmerciful servant who could not forgive 15 bucks to a fellow man, and could not just let him go forbear and forgive. He came to his master with the 15 million, the 10,000 talents. He came to his master and begged for forgiveness? No. He begged for forbearance. Patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the master had pity on him and forgave the debt. That means he absorbed it all himself. And the young, and this servant went out and saw his fellow man, that's all in Matthew 18, and he could not extend what was extended to him to another human being, to his fellow man, the one he was associated with. He was his co-worker. He could not extend what was extended to him. A measly 15 bucks. And he took him by the throat and threw him into prison. And when the Lord found that out, he called his wicked servant and said, "You wicked servant." Listen carefully. Was that servant wicked when he had been forgiven this old debt? He was accepted. If the master had not forgiven him, because the master forgave him the whole debt, shows you the master had a really good heart towards him. He actually, I mean, would you forgive 500 bucks to one of your church members here? You'd hound them till the cows come home. You send them a text every week. Time to pay up, sir. Pay up, pay up, pay up. This guy forgave him everything. That's amazing. That shows him that he had a very good love towards him. Because we couldn't do that. This man could not forgive $15. To him was extended incredible mercy. And he did not extend it to his fellow man. And so, you wicked servant, that's when he showed his true colors. And he said, "You wicked servant, shouldest not have thou had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors that he should pay all that was due to him. Here's the verse that should jolt us to reality. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts you forgive not one every one of brother their trespasses. We must understand why God wants us to do that. The reason God wants us, first of all, to do it. We live in human relationship, stuff happens. First of all, He wants us to do it because it sets us free. That's the number one thing. It sets us free from a bad, poisonous mentality and a mindset and a heart. The second thing it does, it builds His church. That is incredibly important. It builds His church. As we said in the opening song, how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To forgive doesn't mean we condone the wrong done to us. Doesn't mean we're just letting someone off the hook. Just doesn't mean we say what he did was right or what that person did was right. We're not saying that by forgiveness. We give up our right to hurt back the person. We give up our right to get even with that someone. We release them to God. We show that we actually trust God that He is dealing with the situation. That's what we're showing. It is faith in practice. It is our faith in action in everyday life. In relationships, I've been around, so I kind of know. Contentions and hurts come through pride, selfishness, being inconsiderate of others, two or more strong-willed people butting heads, independent people seeking their own way and their will and their means and their ends. And at times, each of these pursuits crosses the line of love and respect and human decency and infringes on another person's rights. That's what happens. And we're all broken some way. And at times, those flaws, they rattle us, they rattle others. They hurt them. And that's where forgiveness and forbearance needs to be high in our list. And you know, you and I might be thinking, it doesn't have to be this way. I wish. It doesn't need to be this way. Why can't God's people learn to honor each other? To respect. Why can't they learn not to gossip about each other? Why can't they learn those basic things, not to say hurtful things to one another? Why can't they learn how to be a blessing? Why can't they learn how to be, not to be churlish and critical? And why can't they put themselves into other people's shoes? Why can't they see in themselves when they do these things? You might be thinking that, but I have a question for you. Are you kind and loving and considerate and compassionate? Or do we just want the other person to be that way? To us. You know, we're special. You know, you and I can talk till the cows come home. That we've had to forgive so much. That we've had to forbear so much. People have hurt us so badly. They've gossiped about me. They've said these bad things. They've done that and this, that, and the other. But have you ever stopped and thought about how many times the other person's had to forgive you? Has that ever crossed your mind? Does that ever cross our minds? That how often the other person has to forgive us for our attitudes, for our churlish words, for our inconsideration, for our unkindness, for our selfishness, and for all those other things that irks us about them. Right? I agree. Those things shouldn't be in the body of Christ. But we're Christians on a journey, and fellowship is a hard journey. Fellowship is a journey to make us more like Jesus Christ. And it is in fellowship where we learn those concepts, where they are driven home to us, where we learn to see ourselves. Yes, we must be confronted with bad attitudes. We need to be. We need to be confronted when we say bad things about other people. We should not let them off the hook. But forgiveness and forbearance needs, you have to make way and room for growth. The other thing I want to say here about forgiveness is, don't let anything that is outside of yourself govern your life. If we're a child of God, our value is determined by Jesus Christ, what He did for us. It is not determined by what the world thinks of us. It is not determined by how many likes or dislikes I get on Facebook or all these other social media platforms. It is neither is it determined by any other human being. Our value is determined by our Creator. And that should not make us feel like, oh, poor me. I am such, nobody has had to suffer like I had to suffer. I have to go through so much. You know, people don't understand me. People do bad things to me, have said this and done that, and oh me and oh my. Brothers, I've had to forgive people that I've ministered to and discipled. I've had to forgive people that are very near and dear to me. But I also know people have to forgive me for things that I've done. I don't walk around with a long face or king-sized attitudes. when I don't get my way or when I'm hurting. I have learned how to bring it before God. I've learned how to go to my prayer closet and put my requests to God and cast my burdens on Him. Another thing I've learned about forgiveness and forbearance is God. Sometimes God just holds up the mirror to us, showing us our own hearts. Hey there, young man, young sister. Here's the mirror. Have a good look. You ever heard the saying, what goes around comes around? The measure we meet is often measured back to us. Sometimes God only wants to purify us and make us into better Christians. And He uses those life circumstances to do it. And as we grow, brothers and sisters, as the body grows, those things need to go. We shouldn't forever be forbearing and forgiving those elementary things. We've got to go on to something higher. In other words, as much as we need to forbear and forgive, we also need to stop doing things that harm and hurt. We have to grow up. Stop doing things that cause hurt and cause pain in one another. Paul said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not be consumed one of another. An unforgiving person projects their toxins on others, their poison, and thereby defiles many others. Hebrews 12:15, Paul writes, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. When we take the attitude, when it comes to forgiving one another, when I take the attitude of that wicked servant, man, are we taking a low road? When I recognize what's been forgiven me, I can see the value in my fellow man. When I recognize who God saved me from and what He saved me from, I can appreciate what God is doing in others. And can even embrace it, that maybe this is for my good. Maybe this is for my maturing. So when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free. And the prisoner is you. That's why I asked on Faith Builders this week that if any heart issues towards each other are prevalent, that they be dealt with. I don't mean every little bit be ruffling, you know, every day a little iron sharpening, iron grinding. That's good. That's good stuff. But if there's any heart issues, deal with them before you take communion. I long for that. I ask that every brother that we do this in absolute purity of mind and motive. Jesus said in Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there remembers that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way and first be reconciled to thy brother and then come for worship. Then come and offer thy gift. Then come and take communion. Then look to me. God places such a high value on this. It's even surprising when I study into it. So many times we kind of, you know, we don't want to place such high value on our brothers and sisters, on brotherhood. Forbearance. Romans 15:1-2. Like I said, the words are very much related. So what we speak of one often is just a little. It is different. There is a difference. It's withholding judgment, while forgiving is giving God his rightful place. So Romans 15 verses 1 and 2, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Please his neighbor. That's her neighbor too, by the way. "For their good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." So what that actually means is, Jesus Christ absorbed the reproaches. How many reproaches can we absorb? How many infirmities can we bear, brothers and sisters? If we bounce them off ourselves, it shows we've got an iron curtain around ourselves. It shows our hearts are steel. We've insulated and isolated ourselves from one another and from God's love. What happens is we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's what's supposed to happen. We absorb. And you might think, "Lord, how much more shall I absorb? I'm 50 years old. Brother Paul back there is a few years older. And you know, you think, how much shall a person absorb? You know, the older I get, here's the truth I've learned, the more I can absorb. The older I get, the more I can absorb. And that makes me an agent of peace. It makes me an agent of something greater than myself. And that seems to be our goal. All of our goals. When we absorb the weaknesses, the infirmities, the stupidity, and the selfishness sometimes of God's saints that leaves us scratching our heads, we are building unity. Withholding judgment for a season, as God has done with us. Look what Romans 2:4 says. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance." It's how good he was to us that finally shames us and humbles us. In Romans 3:25, "Whom God set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Beautiful. Amazing. If I get what I deserve, and if you get what you deserve, we won't be sitting here. And that's a fact. The unfaithful servant asked for forbearance, he received forgiveness. He could not even extend forbearance to his fellow man, and so he stopped receiving forgiveness. That's exactly what Jesus said. It's reciprocal. Forbearance is not condoning sin again, just like with forgiveness, or turning a blind eye to sin. Forbearance is the wisdom to recognize that such and such a person is not grounded enough, not stable enough, not mature enough yet maybe. It's putting up with flaws, with weaknesses, even with attitudes. Forgoing justice for a season to give another the benefit of a doubt. Space to grow and the opportunity to come to repentance. An opportunity to come to see themselves as God sees them. And when it comes to forbearance, I always like the reverse illustration. And so do you. How do I want to be treated after I mess up? Do you want someone to throw the books at you? Fire you? Or all these other terms? So, If we don't want them to do that, please extend it to your fellow man. That's my word for you. If we don't want others to ram us, if we don't want others to do the bad things to us, extend it to others, because we're only doing what God has extended to us. Because the same thing happens. The same thing is going on in forbearance as it is in forgiveness. Exactly the same thing. We need to forgive because we're being forgiven. And we need to be forbearing because others are forbearing with us. And the wonderful words are in 2 Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Here's the word that we just read it in devotions this week, in our morning devotions. This is the most wonderful passage when it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are attaining the highest level of Christian relationships when we forbear and bear one another's burdens. Why is that? Why is forbearance and forgiveness and bearing fulfilling the law of Christ? Because we are extending to others exactly what God extended to us. Not only does it prove that God's laws are operating, God's love is operating in our hearts. As I said earlier here, we're instruments, we're agents of building the kingdom. And that should inspire us, brothers and sisters. Not to be the cynic, not to be the critic, the judge, or an agent of division. Because that's just playing Satan's card game. That's just falling into his card of tricks, following his pattern better. We're not that. We're better. We're God's people. We're kingdom people. And we grow to oneness and unity of purpose. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. How do we make peace? We forgive and we forbear. And we pull the plank out of our own eyes before we pull the one that moved out of our brothers. We seek oneness. So do you want the church to grow? Do we want this ship to navigate to bring the kingdom of God down here? Do we? And realize this is an essential. Those are essential elements in building his kingdom. Realize. Be more concerned for others than we are for ourselves. Bad circumstances, bad things happen to God's best people. And they didn't lose hope for it. Joseph, Daniel, you know that guy who lost his, who was born without arms and limbs, Nick Vujicic, this guy, he couldn't have had, you know, humanly speaking, he couldn't have had worse circumstances. You know, all the cards were stacked against him. He becomes an agent of encouragement to millions of people. Josh McDowell, a terrible circumstances, a terrible past. Terrible obstacles, which none of us have ever faced. I hope to realize this. We're not alone. God's with you. He can strengthen you. He encourages us. But he asks us to take these steps. These essential steps. To build and be builders. So to summarize, fellowship is the third part of the journey. Third phase. And it's all about interpersonal growth and relationships and development of the team. And forgiveness and forbearance are the key pillars in this game. Key pillars in this pursuit, in this journey. Recognize, brothers, we're all flawed. We all need to extend the same forgiveness that has been extended to us by God. Give each other room to grow. Give each other time and space. Confront in love. Confront in love. There's the order. pray for a spirit and a caring spirit for the person, confront them, correct them, release them, and love them. That's the order. And then God's church can do nothing but grow. God bless you.
Wonderful message today. Always needful. But just, Paul said so much in these few verses the brother read this morning. So much. And it's easy to just read them. But just take that one verse and the brother expounded a lot about forbearing and forgiveness and loving. But in that first verse you read here, just that one verse, put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of any of these virtues or these qualities, what did it make you feel like? Were you drawn to that person? Or were you repelled? The answer is clear. We get drawn by these things. Mercy is a beautiful thing if you're on the receiving end. But to give it, that's a different story. Because it requires something from us. Kindness, the same thing, is what we all appreciate. We all want kindness. To be kind, to give it sometimes requires a sacrifice, and we don't always feel like that. So we have to put ourselves on the receiving end. And what are we trying to accomplish? Humbleness of mind that is lived out and displayed in real life draws and attracts people. But for some reason, to our flesh, humility feels like we are letting others walk over us and they're getting away with it. That's what it feels like to the flesh. Meekness is an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable circumstances and to see them as only part of a greater picture. That's meekness. A state of mind where we don't fly off the hook every time we run into different difficult situations. And again, a desirable thing to be on the receiving end. But put it on. Paul said that's the goal. To put it on. Long suffering and patience we like to receive. Have patience with me, the debtors cried. And I will have patience with me. And we all can testify the fact that patience of the Lord is salvation. Oh, but to be patient with others is so hard. It's a good counsel here from Paul. Good counsel. Easy to read over, easy to just take 2-3 seconds to read over, but to take it to heart, let it change us. The goal is put on these things. Just put it on like you put on your clothes in the morning. And to remind ourselves often of that, that is, it's the only way we're going to be able to accomplish that. So God bless you. Thank you for these words, brother. They were very needful, I believe. But, you know, relationships, they only work as much as you value them. So it depends on how much value you put on relationships. That's what I find in my life. If you, they're not that valuable, you tend to let slip, you're not careful what you do. You can ruin a relationship that took about 20 years to build in 10 minutes. So if you gotta put a value on it. Just take, for instance, your rusty pickups that rust up. If somebody backs into it, just a nick, the first thing you're at the adjuster trying to fix that piece of junk. But you're not worried about if you nicked your brother or your sister or something. See, we got our priorities mixed up. The value should be on your relationships. That's where it's supposed to be. Not on something that rusts and that'll have no value in eternity. It's got no value. Just think of it. In Romans 12, there's a one verse here. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Can you do that? In honor, preferring one another. That's pretty tough, but if you do this, your relationship will flourish. When I think of relationships, I think of one, always comes to mind. One incident that comes to mind, and that's Jonathan and David. Their relationship was, they had a covenant relationship. They put value on it. In 1 Samuel 18, 4. And Jonathan, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. That's a lot of value on a relationship if you love him as your own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. Can you see what Jonathan did here? Is what I read here in Romans. He preferred one another. He preferred himself. He preferred David over himself. He gave him his robe. His robe. He was supposed to be king. He was next in line. He stripped himself of that and put it on him and gave it to David. And his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And that's what he gave up to. His weapons, he laid them down. Lay your weapons down, brothers and sisters. Lay them down. You'll never build a relationship with weapons. And I think the biggest weapon is our tongue. Lay it down in honor, preferring one another. James talks a lot about that tongue. You know that I watched a video the other day of when they put a new ship into the water. And you know how big the rudder was in the back? It was I couldn't believe it, how tiny that paddle in the back was, or that steered the ship. Just small compared to the huge ship. And that's what James uses as an illustration. Yeah, that tongue is a weapon. We have to lay it down. Lay her down, brothers and sisters. Lay her down. One more verse here. And for encouraging here. There's the one that I thought of here. In Philippians, always something to think about here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of these things. God bless you.
Beautiful.